Suddenly, time has passed. It's gone by too fast. Who'd have guessed that we'd end up here? But I'm glad you're here.
Good morning. Happy Friday. So excited to be here as your host on Lift Your Spirits Radio, which comes to you every Friday. And you're listening to my amazing son, Dean Foster, who's attending Berklee College of Music. And he's going to have a new website up soon. It'll be deanfoster.com.
He's been in there a month now?
Back at school, yes, for a month. Yeah, he's a sophomore this
year. Doing okay now?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's doing really well.
Nice.
He's actually going to be going on tour. And he's working in a studio, so
that's
he's
so
keeping
awesome.
Really busy, yeah.
I was always amazed, like, how fast kids move these days. Like, for me, I couldn't even imagine being on tour in a sophomore, like, or doing the things he did when I was like, still plugging away at the books. I mean, like, lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very lucky to get moved into that. He's already on a couple records, too, which is kind of
exciting. Again, I got nothing to say. That's really cool. Proud of him.
So, yeah, hopefully we'll have him back here on in the program. That would be great. So my name is Kasara Deline, and after coming my own health challenges when I was younger, I dedicated my life to educate others to valuable health options for everybody so that you can help your life with knowing what your choices are. My background's in herbology and naturopathy and psychology, energy work, and meditation. And you can learn all about what I do at truehealth.com. That's truhealth.com. So thanks for joining me today. Today, we are fortunate to have a friend of mine, Kimberly Bowen, also known as Sifu Kim. And she's here to talk to us about how powerful martial arts are for people of all ages.
Right? That's right.
Right. So tell the listeners about yourself, Kimberly.
Sure. Thanks, Kasara. So I live in Seattle, where I teach White Dragon Kung Fu, Seattle Kung Fu. And we are all ages working together, from 7 to my oldest student currently is 77.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, and then I also teach meditation through Training and Power.
Oh, great. Great. So how did you get into martial arts?
Well, I did a year of Taekwondo in college because I had a boyfriend who did Taekwondo, and I thought that was really cool. And it was really fun, and Taekwondo is very fighting-oriented. It's kind of a fighting sport. And then after I left college, I did no martial arts until, I did, yoga, dance, aerobics, whatever. And then when I was 44, I had a son who'd been doing kung fu for a couple years, and I would sit there and wait to pick him up and go, God, that looks fun. Ooh, I'd really love to do that. And then finally, I just was like, okay, I can't stand sitting here anymore. So I took it up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what was it like for you starting to do all that?
I picked it up really fast. And, I was pretty fit. I actually, when I decided I'm going to do kung fu, it's like, okay, I got to get in better shape. So I started running. And when I started running, so I'm 44. I started running. I had bad knees. So I'm like, I don't know. Can I run? And so I was like, okay, I'm going to run around the block. And I kept doing it for, twice a week for a month until I could go all the way around the block without stopping to catch my breath.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, now I can run for 5 minutes. Let's see if I can do 10. And that's what I did. So I kept going until I could run for 20 whole minutes. And then I was doing sit-ups and push-ups because I knew they did that in class. I'm like, okay, I got to do 20 push-ups and 50 sit-ups, and then I'll be ready to do kung fu. So, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I remember when I took karate, we had to do all the sit-ups and all the push-ups, and there was no mat. I mean, it was on the hard floor, and that's what you did. And I remember being in the best physical shape of my life when I was doing karate.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I did Taekwondo in college at Evergreen, it was actually in the steam plant, was where they made that into a gym. And if you didn't say, sir, yes, sir, every time he gave a command, you had to do 20 knuckle push-ups on the cement floor.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I don't think I could handle that. It's a little intense. What do you think, Benny?
For sure.
Yeah. No, that's the kind of thing you do in your 20s, but at this age, you'd be like, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
No, thanks.
So now tell us about some of the students you have. So you said you have somebody that's 77.
Yep. Yeah, she's been doing kung fu for about 3 years, and she also takes my qigong class. And this is someone who had never really exercised her whole life until she had a hip replacement.
Uh-huh.
She has a hip replacement and a fused ankle.
Oh,
And so she started exercising with a trainer, and then, I don't know, she saw a sign for Kung Fu for my class or something and asked if she could take it. And I said, sure. And I'm really excited to work with people with limitations because it's a challenge for me, like a puzzle, like, ooh, okay, well, how do we make this work for them? So, and then she brought her husband in. He was in his 80s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they'd already been getting in shape so they could do push-ups, you know, and stuff like that. And they just loved being with the kids. She was a pediatrician.
Oh.
So for her, it's just a thrill to be in there working with the kids. And then the kids are inspired by them.
Oh, of course, yes.
So, last week, I think it was, we were doing splits. And I have all these kids. They're from 7 through teens. And I said, you guys, Sue has the best splits in class, and if I was you, I'd be a little embarrassed. And one of my 12-year-old boys said, oh, believe me, I am.
Hysterical. So funny. Oh, my gosh. So what would you recommend for people that are interested in getting into martial arts?
Well, there's a lot of different martial arts. We were just talking about this. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Chinese and Japanese and Korean and Brazilian. There's so many different styles. So go check it out. Like, see what you're interested in. Go visit some classes. And then be clear on what kind of style. Like, do you want to, have a super intensive workout? Or do you want to just get in shape? Or do you want to be focused on self-defense? And know what your goals are. And then, so in my school, I tell the older students, I don't want to break you. And there's plenty of schools, you know, and exercise programs that do want to break you,
right.
I had actually my Kung Fu master, he liked to take people who are really out of shape and train them. And his goal was to make them barf.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
he would say,
intense.
Yeah. I remember he took this 8-year-old boy. He says, okay, take this guy out in the back and PT him, meaning physical train him, until he throws up. He's like, really? He's like, yeah. And then he comes in, he's like, he threw up. And he's like, good. I'm okay, that's sick.
Yeah, that's not right. I remember when I took ballet and we had Mr. Peterson had this big stick. And if our feet were not in the right position, he'd whack your shin. So, yeah, I remember that kind of the same thing, huh? Yeah, I'm glad you don't do that.
No, I don't. I try not to make people. In fact, I have a rule, do not barf in the studio. Yeah, because I did have a kid do that. Not because she was sick, not because I was pushing her too hard. But she threw up and I had to clean it up. So now I tell kids, just run to the bathroom. Don't even raise your hand. No barfing in the studio.
Right. That's good.
You got to draw that line somewhere.
Good.
You know.
That's good. So I'm interested on the kids when they – how young are the kids when they come in?
I like to – not take anyone younger than 7.
Okay.
Because 7, same thing when I taught piano, at 7 they can focus better.
Okay.
Like brainwave patterns actually shift. Uh-huh. When children become 7 years old, they shift their brainwave patterns so that they can focus and they're kind of more all the way here instead of one foot in fairyland all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll take a sibling who's 6 or something, but they do. They're kind of spacey, and it's, you know, almost an hour and a half class. It's a lot to focus.
Oh, wow. That's a long class.
Yeah. Yeah, almost an hour and a half. But I've also seen kids come in, with ADD, ADHD and stuff at a young age, and it really teaches them to focus.
That's awesome. That's awesome. They have to pay attention.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, because they have to have discipline and focus. And we always start with a meditation in my class.
Oh, wonderful.
Which I've learned with, younger kids, especially boys, I've found, they are restless, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's so I've had to reduce it down to simple as we're going to take, you know, 5 deep breaths together. Because I found more than that was kind of more than they could handle.
Right.
And even then, I'm like, this is part of class. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your hands out. So, yeah, just teaching kids to be calm for 5 breaths.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, when the kids get started, I mean, how hard is it for them to learn some of the techniques and stuff? How many different types of Kung Fu do you teach, or do you just teach Kung Fu?
For kids, so I teach mostly Pai Lum Kung Fu, which is White Dragon. So our school is White Dragon Kung Fu Seattle. That's the Pai Lum style, which came from southern Shaolin China through Okinawa, through Hawaii, through the Danny Pai family to mainland U.S. So it's okay. kind of American style of kung fu. And then, but it's traditional based, and then also Hungar is part of our system. And then, excuse me, we also teach self-defense, which is based in Krav Maga, but really practical. So, like, I had some kids come in to the door yesterday, just show up, and they're like 8 or something. I'm like, oh, hi, what are you here for? And they're like, we want to train to get strong and to be able to fight bullies.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, I would love to teach you, but your parents have to give permission, so here's my card. And this one kid, he looked like he was about ready to cry.
Oh.
So it was like clearly dealing with bully situation, yes. And it was like a movie, you know, where the kids are like, let's go learn kung fu,
yeah, yeah.
You know. So I said, but wait, don't go away yet. Let me show you something. And my son was there at the time, and I'm like, let me tell you something. If a big person is trying to beat you up, here's what you do. Kick him in the leg. And then I demonstrate. See, like if you just kick someone in the shin, that hurts. Kick them in the side of the knee, they'll fall over. Kick them behind the knee, they'll fall right on their face. So just remember, if someone's trying to beat you up, you know, you just put your arms out and say, back off. If that doesn't work, kick them in the leg, and then you run away. And they're like, okay. I'm like, okay, I gave them one thing.
That's great. So are there different levels in kung mm-hmm. fu?
Well, in traditional kung fu in China, they don't do belts.
Okay.
So you're either a novice, or you're intermediate, or you're advanced.
Okay.
And so I've also trained in Northern Shaolin style after I got my black sash. And that they kind of disdain the belt thing, like, oh, this is an American thing, you know. But some kung fu schools do the belts, and definitely Taekwondo and karate. So in our system, yeah, you come in. Our system's a little different. You don't even get your white sash until you've tested.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of schools, they just give you a white belt when you come in. Mm-hmm. And in ours, to get a white sash, you have to be able to do horse stance,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a squat, but your legs are flat like a table, with a bow staff balanced on your legs for 30 seconds.
Wow.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
Not everybody makes it to white sash. And then, you know, kicks and punches, and you learn our salute, which is kind of complicated, and a first form, mm-hmm. and some basic combinations. But the bow stance on the horse stance is, or the bow staff on the horse stance, that's kind of the hardest thing. And then to advance to each level, like to yellow sash, it's for 60 seconds. And then, you know, I can't remember. But black sash, it was like an hour, something ridiculous.
Now, I saw you were teaching, Facebook, and I saw you were teaching some online classes.
Well, yeah, last year, like so many people, I decided, okay, if I'm going to teach, I'm going to have to teach on Zoom.
Right.
And I was like, but kung fu on Zoom, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. How can you do that? That's like, I was very opposed to it. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. But I was teaching a weekly Qigong class, which is kind of a foundation of kung fu, mm-hmm. and it's synchronized breath with movement. And I had three faithful students who really wanted to keep going. So I'm like, I could teach that on Zoom. We could do it. And then they just stuck with it. So we did that every week. And it's like, well, this is the only way I'm going to make myself do it. And it's a very important practice. And yes. they get so much out of it. And that was with, you know, moderate conditioning. And so it helped them be in shape and get more flexible and strong. And so I started with that, and then last fall we got finally back to the studio after teaching kung fu outside to the kids, and for 6 weeks, and then we got shut down again in middle of November, remember,
okay,
right
yeah.
before Thanksgiving. It's like, okay, I give up. I'm taking the rest of the year off, and if we still can't go back in the studio, I'll teach kung fu online. And so in January, I just offered it up, and about half my students took
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we did it and it worked. You know, we figured it out. But it's funny with kids because, and all the teachers who've been teaching kids online all year get this, like getting them to set up their camera so you can actually see
right,
them.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of times all I see is their head. I'm like, can you move your camera? Like, can you make sure I can at least see you? And then I'm like, okay, everybody on the floor, let's do push-ups. I'm like, are they really doing the push-up? And it's finally like, you know what? This is better than nothing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then the kids got that community.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
And they'd get online, even after being on school all day online. I'm like, why would they want to get online again? they'd come and they just look drained of their life energy. Mm. You know, it's like, ugh, here I am again on the computer. And by the end, they're all happy and lively. And they'd come on and they go, oh, Sifu Kim, look at this new thing I got. And I'm like, you know what? We'll do show and tell at the end. Because everyone wanted to tell me something or show me something.
Right.
Like, let's stick around at the end and then you can do it. And then they were so excited to show me their new stuffed animal or Nerf gun or whatever.
Right.
And then I had one kid, actually, who through this process of sharing came out to me as trans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was like, or they were like, what'd you do for Valentine's Day, Sifu Kim? I'm like, what kid even says that, you know? And I'm like, oh, we ate chocolate. What'd you do? And they said, I got a new wig. And they showed me this wig, and it's like, and it's pink, my favorite color. And I'm like, wow, I have a pink wig, too. That's so cool.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, and Qigong is really incredible. Incredible. I remember when I took karate, I broke my foot because I kicked somebody incorrectly. Mm-hmm. If I would have kicked her right, I probably would have broke her leg. But instead, I broke my foot. And then I couldn't get back into karate for a while because mm-hmm. I couldn't get back into the stance because where I broke my foot. But Qigong was so powerful. Oh, my gosh. And you have those classes available now for people mm-hmm. online. So if people want to.
Oh, actually, I'm doing them right now outside of the park.
Okay.
Near my house in Southeast Seattle.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, we started doing that in August. And then I got more and more students. And it just so happens most of them are over 60.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And they are so, well, we're all so thrilled to be outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, well, when the weather gets bad, we'll go on Zoom. And they're like, no. We want to keep doing it outside. I'm like, even if it's raining, they're like, yes. So I'm like, okay. And so I found a picnic shelter. I'm like, okay, if it rains too bad, we'll go up here. And they're like, yes, this is what we're going to do. So we'll
see.
That's great. I might go back online.
Yeah, it's such a powerful class. I know. I miss that. Didn't you have one online recently?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done about once a month.
Oh,
I
once
do them
a month.
Online.
Okay.
So, yeah, my website is dragonkungfuseattle.com.
Perfect.
And I list those things on there. And if I go on Zoom, it'll be there.
That's great. So, you're listening to True Health with Kasara Deline on Lift Your Spirits Radio. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more from Sifu Kim.
Is ADHD or dyslexia holding you or someone you love back? Do you struggle to organize, process information, concentrate, or even remember things? Or has a brain injury impacted your life? At A Bit Better Brain, we have a simple, fast, and natural solution. The Brain Integration Technique clears the blocked pathways in your brain so you can live life unhindered. Visit abitbetterbrain.com to hear real stories of real transformation. That's abitbetterbrain.com.
Lift Your Spirits with me, Dina Marie, on Whidbey Island. I'll be a tour guide for your spirit and a travel agent for your soul. Retreats include a healing session for your body, your mind, and your spirit. You receive a Reiki session plus a chakra reading, experience a labyrinth in the woods, take a walk on the beach, and enjoy downtown Langley with me. Retreats are customized for you or a group of friends. You can visit dina-marie.com to connect with me today. Island Time is waiting for you.
Are your medical expenses increasing, but your health is not improving? True Health offers unique services where Kasara empowers clients with intuition, education, and proven resources. Better choices can be made when information is available. Now's the time to visit truehealth.com. That's truhealth.com. And schedule your appointment to achieve your health goals. Your body will thank you.
Don't miss out. Just 2 weeks left to pick fresh organic blueberries at Hazel Blue Acres in Savannah, exit 208 off I-5. It's a great activity for friends, family, and it's COVID safe. After mid-September, place an online order at hazelblueacres.com. Curbside pickup Tuesdays 2 to 6, Saturdays 9 to 2. Buy a famous Whidbey Island Wild Crow organic blueberry pie, blueberries, hazelnuts, or wild-caught salmon. Visit hazelblueacres.com today and place your order.
On the path to good health and well-being? Alternative Talk 1150 is the station for you.
Thanks for joining us. This morning, you're listening to True Health with Kasara Deline on Lift Your Spirits Radio. And today, we're talking with Sifu Kim about finding power within yourself with martial arts. And historically, martial arts has been a male, quote-unquote, activity, but it's so empowering for women and children. So talk to me about what that's been like for you as a woman in the industry.
Yeah, sure. Well, we're really fortunate here in the Seattle area that we have more martial arts schools that are headed by women than, I don't know, maybe in the whole country.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we're really lucky that way in all different styles of martial arts. And I was fortunate that my Kung Fu master, he said, in this school, the girls rule.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, he was really empowering to us and encouraging. And I think a lot of times, like, boys will get into it because they like to mess around and fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls come in, and a lot of times they're not quite sure why they're there, but they really get into it. You know, and we don't just do fighting. We also do forms, which are choreographed mm-hmm. movements, series. And I've seen girls come in who are, like, really shy and don't want to shout, like, on their punches. But they'll get into the form.
Right.
And they'll really focus on that, and they'll get good at that, and then they feel confident, and then that grows into the, like, the fighting arts. And then the other aspect is I also teach self-defense as part of the curriculum, and I'm really passionate about empowering women to defend themselves. And the style I teach, I'm a member of the National Women's Martial Arts Foundation, and they have a whole curriculum for teaching women self-defense that I've trained in. And like Krav Maga is an excellent system, but if you train in Krav Maga, it's the kind of thing where you train for years and mm-hmm. you get better and better, and that's great. But what I want to do is work with women who maybe they don't want to train in martial arts, but they just want to know, what do I do if
right.
someone tries to grab my purse or
right.
yank me into a car? And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, every woman needs to know what
yes.
to do if someone walks up behind you and gives you the creeps,
yeah,
or threatens you or says nasty things to you. What do you do?
Yeah, I was really lucky when I took karate. I took it from a couple different dojos, and one time nobody else showed up, so it was just me and the teacher. And he spent the whole time just teaching me direct self-defense, and it was phenomenal. And he was a big guy. He was probably 6'4". So he was teaching me how to, you know, handle myself with someone that was that big,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it was very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, didn't have to use it, fortunately, but I know it's there, so I can if I have to.
Well, and that's the thing, is if by having the confidence to know
yeah.
what do I do if some guy comes up to me and, you know, is threatening or trying to hurt me, if you know what to do, then you exude that confidence. And here's the thing, is that predators, anybody who would attack a woman, is looking for an easy target.
Yes.
They're bullies, right?
Right.
Bullies only pick on people they think are not going to whoop them.
Right.
And so if someone is, the first thing we teach is just to have that confident manner. And so I have the women, like, walk looking down and feeling, you know, sad or depressed or unconfident. And then I have them walk around feeling confident and powerful. And the difference in the posture is, like, upright and looking around and shoulders back.
Yeah.
And it's a don't mess with me attitude.
Yeah.
And so, like, right there, okay, you're probably not going to get picked on.
Right.
And then if, you know, if somebody comes up and starts being like, hey, baby, da-da-da, just turn around and look at them and go, back off. And then it's just like, ew, I didn't mean it. You know, it's probably what's going to happen. And so just kind of from, like, if that's all that every woman knew, that would be better for us all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if it comes down to, okay, what if they try to grab your arm and drag you into a car, then we learn the techniques.
So how many women do you have in your class versus men?
Oh, let's see. For the Kung Fu class, I think we might be half and half right now.
Oh, really? That's
yeah.
great.
Sometimes I have more boys. Like I said, boys like to, they're like, ooh, I'm going to Kung Fu fight.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. So what's the best thing about teaching Kung Fu?
Oh, let's see. Well, I say it's leadership development school. and where you learn to do your very best with what you've got that day. And so that's pretty much the foundation there. So for kids, sometimes they show up and they're you know, kids are always like, oh, this is my owie. Oh, this hurts, that hurts, you know. And I'll just say, well, okay, so your ankle hurts today, so work on really having great hands. You're really going to focus on your hands today, okay? Tight fist at your side,
right.
You know, or your focus. Okay, then work with your focus. And I'll tell them, look, I was doing kung fu for years with a bad hip.
Right.
You know, and it was just like, okay, I can't do the jump, so what can I do? Or I can't squat so low, so what can I do? And then I just worked on that.
Right.
So, and then with my older students, I'll have students like my Qigong class right now is mostly women over 60. And I had this one woman who, after 1 week, we just worked on her horse stance, and she was asking me after class, and I gave her some pointers. She came back the next week, and she was just aglow. She said, what you showed me on horse stance was amazing because now I can garden without pain. Oh, after
wow.
Just 1 week.
That's amazing.
I said, wow, that's after 1 week, and now you're just going to get better and
yeah.
better. So that's a thrill to work with students who are older. A lot of times, you know, people get older and they're like, you know, like I told you, I had bad knees. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I guess I can't run, you know. And then it's like, well, maybe I can run if I just do it different, you know, like
right.
gentler. And so I really love the challenge of working with people who have limitations to maximize whatever they've got.
Right. One of the things I that's kind of along the same line, I do the Tibetan rites. This was before mm-hmm. I knew about them a long, long time ago. And because I'd read the book, The Fountain of Youth, and I've mentioned it on the show before. And when I started that, you know, you're supposed to do 21 of each of those exercises.
Oh, yeah.
And there was no way I could mm-mm. do 21 of those exercises. And now I do 21 every day of all of them, and it's no big deal. But I just started doing three yeah. of each. And I would, even the first one, you spin, and I would always be right next to my bed in case I fell over, you know. Because that has to do with your polarity and keeping you balanced. And obviously, I was way out of balance at that time. But, yeah, just taking those simple steps. That's really great that you do that. You know, my mom's, I think she's 70, 79 now. And she went to a yoga class once, and they kicked her out. They said that she was, you know, not able to do the exercises. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh,
I couldn't
God.
Believe that. And I just think it's so wonderful that you work with people and you find where they're at and you meet with them and go, okay, what can they do?
Yeah.
And let's focus on that, because that empowers people. And then as they do these little baby steps, then they can get to where they want to be.
Yeah, because I'm not trying to, you know, crank out gold medalists. I mean, I'm happy if a student gets a gold medal.
Right,
that's really
right.
exciting. But I'm just like, how do you get to be the person you want to be? So that brings up, I've actually taught kung fu in a chair.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, because I teach about once a month. I teach kung fu to special needs kids through
oh,
Friendship Circle of
how
Washington.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and we did that on Zoom last year.
Uh-huh.
And it actually worked really surprisingly well. And one class, I realized that most of the kids, and there'd be like, you know, 20, 30 kids, most of them were sitting down. And some of them had their pair with them, and some of them are like, oh, good, the kid's going to be busy for half an hour. I can
right,
go do something, right?
Right?
And I'm like, okay, everybody, let's get on our feet and do this. And they're just sitting there like, nope, I'm sitting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, most of the kids are sitting. Some of them can't stand.
Right.
So maybe next time I'll teach the whole class sitting and see how that goes. And so I had to think through, like, everything I do, you know, like kicking.
Yeah.
And stances. It's like, how do you do that in a chair? So I just love those kinds of puzzles. So I thought it through and I practiced it out. I'm like, okay, so we did the whole class sitting in the chair. And afterwards, the teacher said, that was phenomenal. Thank you. And I'm like, wow, you can do kung fu sitting in a chair. This is so cool.
That's awesome. The kids probably loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about your training, because you said you went to China.
I did. So so I trained with Master Lennon. He's the founder of our school. He's now in Israel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, teaching there. Let's see. So I was 44. So I was about 6 years training with him exclusively until I got my black belt when I was 50. And I always tell people it's never too late.
That's right. That's
yeah.
so awesome.
Yeah. That was like a 3-day test. It was, you know, quite vigorous, we'll say. And then he went to Israel after 3 years, and I took over the school. And then I was free to finally train with someone else. And so I started training with Jun Hong Chan of Jun Hong Chan Kung Fu Club. And he is traditional Northern Shaolin style. So it's very different and much more acrobatic, so more of a wushu style, which is very difficult for me. And so I started training that, and I'm training like with little kids, you know, and just going from scratch. And he said, you know, Kim Shifu, that is so unusual for a master to be willing to learn a new style and be a beginner. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, his depth is so deep, and he'd trained in China. Well, after 2 years, I went on a trip with him to China and trained at a temple in China, in Dongfeng, the home of the Shaolin Temple. It was a Shaolin disciple temple, and for a week. And yeah, I worked really hard to get ready for that. And it was with it was mostly boys, and it's a boarding school basically in this ancient temple.
Oh wow, that must have been so cool.
Yeah, and so I got to stay there, and I was staying there with two families who came from Jun Hong Chong's school, and it was about 6 hours a day. And it was all outside. It was hot and muggy and very polluted. We'd be outside training, and these little ashes of burning garbage would float down upon us.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it was super vigorous. So we'd do things like they had this big, long stairway of 100 steps, and I didn't know what was going on most of the time because it was all in Chinese, right, which I barely speak, you know. And so it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do something different today. I'm like, what? And it was Shaolin crawls, which is you run up or hop up the stairs and then crawl down face first.
Oh, my God!
And we did that for an hour. and then I found out there's a lot of people from France would come and train in Sanda, which is boxing. And there's this one woman had a big bandage on her chin. I found out, the first day that they did Shaolin crawls, she had to go to the hospital and get stitches.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you saw her afterwards, though.
Yeah, I didn't know that story before I was doing the Shaolin crawls on the stone steps with the kids.
That's
funny.
So what advice do you have for people that are that have a bully that they have to deal with? You talked about it with the children, but adults can't really do that. I mean, can they?
Well, when it's someone who's like intimidating you or trying to make you feel small and have power over you, then that kind of shifts more into the meditational work, the training and power. And I got into that because I was always a very empathetic person, very sensitive to how other people felt, and I would take on their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was constantly worried about how people thought about me. Did I offend them? Because if someone was angry with me, it was very painful. And finally, I worked at this marketing firm where everybody there got sick after they started working.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it was like these young, vibrant people would come in, and within a month, they were just like had migraines, or they were like, oh, I have to go see a doctor. My stomach hurts all the time. It's like, wow, what's going on? Well, the head marketing person there, she was attacked people energetically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I didn't believe that. I was like, oh, no, everyone's basically good and filled with love. If you just love them enough, they will be good. I was kind of naive that way. And that's what I wanted to believe. But then finally, one day, she sat me down and she accused me of holding a secret meeting to turn everyone against her, which anyone who knows me knows that's not how I operate,
right?
And I'm like, no, I didn't do that. And she's like, yes, you did. And all of a sudden, I felt this whoomp. Like I'd been hit in the chest.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, I really felt that. And the next morning, I came down with extreme bronchitis.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, I cannot deny that happened to me. Because you just don't get bronchitis overnight, you know, just like worst case I'd ever had. So I'm like, okay, I need to learn how to shield myself from that. Because she's a bully, and she was a very powerful bully.
Right.
So I became...
And a different type of bully.
Yeah, it was kind of insidious because she seemed very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, but then she'd kind of slip in on wherever you were vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so from that, I went on a mission. I need to learn to protect myself from other people's negative energy. And that's where I found Trading in Power. And I was sitting next to someone at a workshop, and they were telling me about it. I'm like, oh, what do you do? And she's like, well, you learn techniques for grounding and shielding yourself from negative energy. I'm like, sign me up. That's exactly what I need. So that's when I teach that class. You learn that in class one.
So when was this?
Oh, gosh, that was about, 17 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. So it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Great. And there's different levels in the training, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I teach level one, level two, and the children's meditation course.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And for the children, we teach them how to shield themselves from negativity as well, and how negativity is like an arrow that can pierce your bubble and get in on you. Because, you know, kids a lot of times, like, what if your friend is mean to you?
Yeah.
You know, like, we've all had that experience.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a friend and then some other person's talking mean and they gang up and you're just like, what just happened? I thought they loved me.
I know my son took the children's course many years ago. And so I always remind him to keep his bubble on.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I remember, Mom.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a kid come in who was really dejected and he'd get teased at school and he just felt really bad about himself. And by class four, it's a four class series, he was just ecstatic and delightful and bubbly and fun and found, oh, kids aren't laughing at me. They're laughing because I'm funny and I want that to happen. I
right.
like being funny, you know, just a complete turnaround.
Quite a different shift in perspective.
Yeah.
So do you teach the classes at your studio?
I teach them at my home in okay. the Seward Park neighborhood in Southeast Seattle right now. But there's lots of classes being taught online. So some in person, some online. Currently, mm-hmm. I'm just teaching in person.
Okay.
Oh, I did want to bring up something you were asking about
sure.
training in China. I did that 1 week in 2017 and then 2 years later in 2019. So I'd been training in the Northern Shaolin style for 3 or 4 years at that time. We did another trip to China to the world championship, the world Kung Fu
oh,
championship.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you competing in that. How
yeah.
did you do?
So I got a bronze medal.
That's awesome.
And this was in for forms. It was uh-huh. all forms. And yeah, it was very exciting to because as when I was growing up, I never thought of myself as an athlete. I rode my bike, you know. I played.
You weren't in sports or anything?
No, my parents kind of discouraged that because
oh, really?
They, yeah,
oh,
they
gosh.
Were anti-sports.
Oh,
it was
wow.
an anti-intellectual activity, so they discouraged So for me to be at, like, the World Kung Fu Championship and competing, you know, with
wow.
the best in the world, it was just amazing to be there. And then, again, at my age, I on the bus from the airport, a parent of one of the competitors said, oh, you're competing? I said, yeah. And she's like, oh, in Tai Chi? I'm like, no, Shaolin Chen. She's like, wow. You know, like at your age, you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I had to do it. And this is before my hip surgery. So I was actually in a lot of pain.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, okay, I got to go for this chance. It might be my last chance. And I'm just going to. So I did a lot of physical therapy, took a lot of ibuprofen. And what, like when we were there, my hip hurt so bad that we had these tall bleachers we had to climb up to sit. And I was like, oh, dang it. How am I going to do that? This really hurts. And my husband's offering me his arm. You know, he's such a gentleman. I'm like, not here, not here. Trying to hold it together, man.
Don't want to look weak. That's funny. That's funny. So does your husband do martial arts too?
Yeah. He does. He's been doing Qigong. He trained with me with Jun Hong Chan in Qigong. So he's been doing it about 4 years now. And he's at my every class and he's been my Zoom producer. So when
oh, wow.
I started teaching Kung Fu online, he was started doing Kung Fu with me. So, yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. So after we're going to take a little break here and after that, we'll be talking more with Sifu Krim and talk about these amazing upcoming classes that she's teaching. You're listening to True Health with Kasara Delina on Lift Your Spirits Radio.
I love the way it flows. I love the way it grows. There's something in the sound that takes me far. It's like a special song. I can move my mood along.
Our Energy Matters tip of the week with Dina Marie. Your intuition. Use it or lose it. A good way to get your intuition and have it super strong is to set your intentions every morning for how you would like your day to go. Then you want to find time
during the day to quiet your mind. So you could basically meditate, take a walk. I do breathing. I'll breathe for about 15 minutes and I won't think. And that's when I get that small, still voice. It gives me direction. I get insight on my life and where I'm supposed to be going. If you don't know what to do, do nothing, but wait until you get a sign from the universe. I call it a wink, and then act on it. But the more you have that small, still voice talk to you and the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And like I said, if I don't get that small, still voice, I won't do anything. And I'll be waiting for that light to shine, and then I move forward. Our Energy Matters Tip of the Week with Dina Marie.
Do you feel stressed, exhausted, or burned out? Would you like to identify your unique warning signs and know what to do? Are you ready to learn how to calm your system and increase your energy so you are healthier, happier, and more productive? Learn from an expert. I transform my life from burnout to bliss, and you can too. Go to marlawilliams.net, click on Learn, and sign up for my Burnout Prevention Formula course and move from burnout to bliss in just 6 weeks or less.
Tune in every third Friday on Lift Your Spirits Radio at 8 a.m. for the Sustainability Sessions with host Rebecca Sayer. Learn from and be inspired by local leaders, thinkers, and problem solvers who are tackling the sustainable living questions through invention, collaboration, and hard work. This lively and thought-provoking show focuses on tangible, practical measures that we can all take to reduce our carbon footprint and rethink how we relate to the resources of our natural world. Don't forget, that's the Sustainability Sessions with host Rebecca Sayer, every third Friday on Lift Your Spirits Radio at 8 a.m.
Lift your spirits with us every Friday at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 1150 a.m. KKNW Seattle. We will be introducing you to fascinating people, fun places to visit, and activities are guaranteed to lift your spirits. Miss a show? No worries, you can visit 1150kknw.com and click on our archive page or like Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie on Facebook for upcoming guests and events. To contact me, Dina Marie, visit dina-marie.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Bringing good vibes to the Puget Sound and the world. Alternative Talk 1150.
She told me at a baseline and everything will be all right. She told me that the groove is mine and it will take us through the night.
And that's my wonderful son, Dean, again. So welcome back. You're listening to True Health by Kasara on Lift Your Spirits Radio. And my guest is Sifu Kim. And we're here discussing martial arts, empowering people, and some amazing upcoming classes that you're teaching. So you're really busy in October.
Yes, I am. Back to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell the listeners about the classes that you're teaching.
Sure. Well, for Kung Fu, I teach Kung Fu all ages Tuesday and Thursday evenings in Seattle in the Central District. And I'm teaching Qigong on Thursday mornings. I'm thinking about adding an adult Kung Fu morning class if there's enough interest. And then I've got my meditation classes coming up, so that's very exciting. I'm teaching the adult class, it's called Level 1, and this is 4 Monday evenings, October 4th through October 25th, and that's in person in South Seattle. And that's trainingempower.com, has a list of all the courses, and again, this is my class, but there's also online classes if you're interested. And then, the children's meditation course, I'm teaching that on Sunday afternoons. And that's October 10th through 31st. So again, 4 classes in South Seattle.
Great. And then what are some of the benefits of the classes?
Well, for level 1, I've had students come in who have gone from feeling kind of just like dissatisfied with life and feeling kind of scattered and just like, oh, I just wish I could get it together, to just feeling a great sense of relief, like, oh, I feel so much better, so much clearer, and also getting to a place of really being able to love and accept themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's such a relentless way that we pick on ourselves. You know, so kind of any negative message you got as a child, we take over when we grow up. And so if someone's like, oh, you're fat or you're stupid, then that little voice gets embedded in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a way to really start clearing out any of those negative self-talks or blocks that keep you from your birthright to be absolutely connected with divine holiness.
Yeah. Yeah, I teach level one also, and I just had a class a few months back, and the people were so funny at the end of the class. They were like, this class is magical. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's a great way to describe it.
Yay.
So they were all excited because they go, well, what you taught us was magic. And I'm like, that's fantastic that they think that, you know, mm-hmm. they can use that in their lives.
Oh.
And who can attend the classes?
So the level one classes are for adults. So I have taught teens as young as 16 with a parent's permission, and otherwise all the way up through all the ages. My oldest student was in his 80s.
Oh, wow.
And, it was profound for him. He was someone who had grown up in Germany, and when he came, I had someone auditing the class who spoke German, and she spoke a German greeting to him, and he would not respond in German. And by the end of the class, it was kind of like he'd cut himself off from that aspect of himself. And by the end of the class, he had written me a report in which he quoted poetry in German.
Oh, my God.
So it was like he got back in touch and was able to love all aspects of himself.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then for the children, how old did the children have to be for the child's class?
That would be 7 and up. So, like right now, this class I'm doing in the fall, so far it's mostly 10 to 14-year-olds.
Okay.
And then in the spring, I'm going to teach a class geared more towards younger kids, so like 4 to 7 range. Because it's they can take the class together, but it's kind of more fun. And the class is taught in a way where it's 2 hours, and I put out things to color. I put out Legos. The kids can bring other things. You know, I had kids folding paper airplanes, throwing them at his dad during class.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can kind of have something to occupy their hands and stuff while they're listening. And I share stories. I have some books I read and, you know, some diagrams and things. So it's fun. And then, you know, we have a play break in the middle.
Yeah, that's great. I remember when I got my master's in psychology, they always had crayons and yarn, and people brought in knitting and drawings and all kinds of stuff. And they were really pushing the fact that we learn better when we're keeping busy doing other things. So that's great that you're incorporating that in your classes. So when is the child's class? I don't know if you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. Children's course is Sundays in October, October 10th through 31st from 1 to 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so just the level one and the children's. I thought you had another one.
I teach level two as well.
Oh, you teach level two.
For graduates of level two.
Oh, okay, great. And do you have a level two class coming up as well?
I do at the end of October.
At the end of October. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah, and you're busy. My goodness. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of classes.
Yeah, it's fun.
Those classes take a lot to teach, too, I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're a lot of fun, and you get a lot from it, but from your students and whatnot. But that's a lot. That's a lot. And plus you're teaching Kung Fu as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's all I do now. I used to, you know, be a fundraiser. And before that, I was a marketer.
Uh-huh.
And then when my Kung Fu master was moving to Israel, making Aliyah, he said to me, okay, I'm moving on. It's time for you to take over the school. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. I have a job. I'm a fundraiser. And he's like, yep, it's time for you. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And then he kept saying it to me. And finally, I'm like, you know, my kids are about to graduate from high school. I've been at this job for 6 years. Why not? I mean, obviously the universe is saying, like pointing a big arrow saying, look at this once in a lifetime opportunity for you to take over a Kung Fu school. I know you never thought you were going to do that, but this is what we have in store for you. So I'm like, okay. I'll try it for a year. I'll give it my best shot and then I'll reevaluate. So.
Well, it's not like you didn't have the training for it or anything either, right?
So yeah, it's just
everything's set up.
I just felt like such a beginner, you know, because a lot of people, like my master, he'd been training since the 70s, you know, and Jun Hong Chan, he'd been training since he was a teenager. I've been training since I was 44.
Right. But you're a quick study.
Yeah, I am a quick study. Yeah.
You're a woman, we say.
Right. Give it my
power, power. So is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, I guess I'll just throw in something completely different is because I brought up earlier, I had a student come out to me as trans during our training on Zoom. And I reached out to their parents and said, I have a son who's trans. So if you ever need any support in that regard or anything, just let me know. And so my son, who was a black belt before I was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He got his black belt when he was 13. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And he comes and helps me sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Which is really fun.
Oh, teach the classes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, we do those together. And when he was freshman in college is when he realized, oh, I, you know, was brought up female, but I'm actually a dude.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a really spiritual journey for me, because I had to learn to find some detachment from my son's journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, wait a minute, I raised twin girls, I thought, to be empowered to be whatever they are, you know, to be themselves, to be fully themselves. And I never realized that could include being a man.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was a possibility. And so I had to really adjust my perspective and be open to, okay, I need to support my kid being who they really are, even if I don't understand it. And this became very explicit to me. One day we were out together and I was like, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. And he said, Mom, you don't have to understand me. You just have to support me. And so I just shut up for 6 months. I'm just like, I'm got to stop. I got to do my own work.
Yeah.
And so I did some counseling for myself and just like, I got to realize this is not about me.
Mm-hmm.
This is about my kid. And so I'm just putting that out there because it was such a huge, painful thing for me to not feel like, oh, I'm being rejected as a mother. I'm being rejected as a woman, you know, whatever.
It was all that programming that we get when we're growing up, right? I mean, you had to like reevaluate all of that,
oh,
right?
Oh my gosh, gender binary?
Yeah.
It's just like, gender binary, you're male or female? Like, what's the first thing anyone asks when you say, I'm going to have a baby?
Yeah, is it a boy or a girl?
Right? Yeah, and now they have gender reveal parties.
I know.
I look
crazy
at those and I'm like, yeah. What do they know?
I know when I was pregnant with Dean, I didn't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I knew. We had its name picked out months ahead of time. We didn't even have a girl name picked out until the day before. That's how much I knew it was a boy. But I was like, you know, we didn't have any tests done or anything on that. And then, you know, fortunately, we had the right name. But yeah, it's amazing.
Well, and what we're learning through this, what these kids are really paving the way as pioneers for us to understand, what if gender was not a binary? What if you're not just 100% male or 100% female? And actually, we did this training with Training Empower Leadership Development for all of the teachers, where on Zoom, where they put up a line and said, okay, if on the left is 100% male and on the right is 100% female, everybody put where you are on this spectrum.
Yeah.
And we did.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, we were all over the place. There were people smack in the middle or, you know, 60% this way or that way. Nobody was 100%.
Yeah.
It was just like, wow, imagine what a freedom of expression we'd have if we were all free to be
who we really are
without being slotted into a peg of that was so binary.
Yeah, because that affects everything about the person. It affects their job. It affects their breathing. It affects everything that they are.
Yeah.
And to not allow yourself to be who you are is, you know, a horrible thing.
Oh, no, it's absolute torture. And that's why I love these meditation classes. Because that's what it's all about is becoming who you really are.
Uncovering that.
Yeah.
And then being able to express that in the world and going out with armed and strong and powerful to experience that, which is a completely different thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do without the training. It's really helped me a lot as well.
Yeah.
So, great. Well, thank you for sharing that. I think that's really important. How you have another daughter then?
Yes, Irene is also a musician.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and my kids are 23, and she's cut 3 CDs already.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
and
awesome.
Performs a lot. She writes all her own music, and she plays guitar and different string instruments. Yeah, it's really, really inspiring to see my kids become so much more than I ever imagined, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like they don't have the limitations on things. I mean, I really tried not to put those on my son, you know, to let him explore and figure out who he was and try so many different things. Okay, now he doesn't like that. Okay, he doesn't like that. And then somebody gave us a piano, and that was it. I, you know, I had to pull him off of it at night, you know.
Oh, that's funny.
To get him to go to bed. And when he's older, when he was at my house, I mean, he'd play till the middle of the night, you know.
Wow.
And it's like, so, you know, which is great, but he's very passionate about that. So.
Well, Irene started with piano, and it was torturous. Like, she's like, how can that be a C if it's a half note? And I was like, are you kidding? Because I was a piano teacher. I'm like, Okay. Oh, my kid's a dunce, you know. And after a year of that, she was very frustrated. She's like, I just want to play songs and play an instrument. I'm like, well, I think guitar would be your instrument. And it was.
So thank you so much, Sifu Kim, for joining us today. And please remind the listeners how they can get a hold of you.
Sure. Go to my website, dragonkungfuseattle.com.
And you're listening to True Health by Kasara on Lift Your Spirits Radio. This is Kasara Deline, and you can reach me at truehealth.com. That's truhealth.com. Thank you so much for joining us this month, and we hope to see you again next month. And I'm going to leave you with more music from my son, musician Dean Foster.